Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Success on the Road to Faith on the Road to Success. Sorry we're having difficulties. Prior programs have not been able to air because of network problems, not because of the people that are involved. But I understand that there's some damage in the network due to tornadoes and et cetera. So with that in mind, we'll go ahead and get started. Our topic today is, can you dream too small? And most of us think that that's impossible. But I've been doing some research. I'll be speaking at the Spartanburg County Library in Spartanburg, South Carolina on May 31st, and it's going to be talking about women in the military. And one of the things that I see with people that do great things is they are not afraid to dream. They dream, and they dream large. So what's the difficulty here? Much of the difficulty is chunking it down into manageable bites, not dreaming too large. Too large is practically impossible because we've seen people overcome many, many topics, many subjects, many difficulties. And this is what you are going to do as entrepreneurs. This is what we do every day when we wake up and face life. We face life, and there are any number of problems that could come up. I believe that one of the ways that we minimize them is to keep a positive outlook. A positive outlook is very, very important, not only for the health of our dreams, but for our physical health. When we wake up in the morning and we're looking for every ache to complain about, it's not good. We think, and therefore we are. So we have to learn to think success. Success. And we build big, big dreams. Some of the tallest mountains in the world at one time were considered unconquerable. But people said, no, there is a way. And it is not easy, but it is worth it once you've gone through everything that it takes. At one time, and I remember during my lifetime, there were medical doctors talking about the fact that it was impossible for a human being to run a four-minute mile. Impossible. The heart couldn't keep up. The lungs couldn't keep up. The body couldn't keep up. Legs, everything else, everything imaginable was going to go wrong. Until Roger Bannister finally said, this is not the case. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it fine. Can you turn the TV off?
I did.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'll go back in there. Yeah, we're having problems, and I'm not at home. I'm in someone else's house because my internet itself is down, and I wanted to come over here so that hopefully I could have access to the internet. I do this as the computer is on the internet. And Sunday, when I did my program, we lost internet service, and it has not been restored yet. It's the problem with the entire community. And so we have to look at it. Some people see that as a problem. Some see it as a problem waiting on a solution which they may have. Listening to the news today, a young man has come up with an app that may prove very useful. And what the app does is it allows gun owners to know when somebody has bothered one of their weapons. This is an idea that could have been done years ago. Nobody had any belief that, one, it was needed, and that it was worth time to do. But we find so many cases like that. We find, and I'm using one of them today, because as a kid, if you had talked about being able to talk on a phone, not plugged into a wire into your house, people would have thought you were absolutely crazy, but it is possible. Even kids in school nowadays have cell phones. Sometimes they get used inappropriately. But anything can be misappropriated. Anything can be used. We have situations going on around us today that require thinking people, people with certain skills that we sometimes don't think about. As I am speaking to you now, we're watching a vote count take place in, I believe it's Tennessee, where they are kicking legislators out because they dared protest something that was going on. Duly elected people. We have to have brains. We have to have abilities to sell ideas. There are so many aspects of this that can and should involve people. When we look at this situation, kids were walking out of school because they didn't feel safe. And they have evidence to show that in so many cases, this is true. We look at what happened in, I believe it was Nashville, and we see that people were killed, but the number was lessened because people took action. They took action. They worked from the same agency. Some of them hadn't trained together, but they heeded a call. And this is what we do as entrepreneurs. We sometimes look at it and think that the only thing an entrepreneur can do is to start a business. But it doesn't have to be a traditional business. It doesn't have to even be a business. It can be an idea that you have. And I'm talking about an entrepreneurial spirit, and that is a can-do attitude. If it's going to be done, I can do it. Yeah, there are obstacles out there. There are people who are going to flat laugh in your face. But the people that make it big are the ones that dream big. What we're going to talk about later or very soon is how to chunk an idea down to a manageable size bit. We have skirted around this issue time and time again. We don't know how to do that, and that's one of the most frustrating things as a idea vendor. That's what you are, an idea vendor. And whether that leads to a book, whether it leads to a song, whether it ends up being a better neighborhood, a better loaf of bread, greener grass, whatever the case may be, it is possible. But we sometimes scare ourselves. How do we scare ourselves? We allow ourselves to dream too big and not know how to chunk this thing down. Chunk may not be a scientific word, but what we're talking about is to make it into bite-sized morsels. The old adage says, you know how to eat an elephant. Well, they are monster-sized animals. But the comeback to that is very succinct, and it is very practical. You eat it one bite at a time. One bite at a time. We try to overload ourselves sometimes with too much stuff. And we don't break it down so that we don't see the individual parts that we can easily take care of. Easily take care of. And I've talked about this before, but sometimes we have to hear it more than one time. I know that I do. I hear an idea and I say, I'm glomming onto that as if it is never going to go away. Yeah, and then something happens. It could be the farthest thing from my mind, But then my mind is not there. I'm not working on the idea. This is why it's necessary to write down what we are seeking to do. We need to break it down into smaller bits. I've talked about not making a list of 20 or 30 or 50 things because it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And I've talked about the fact that as we go through our day, our week, our month, our year, we are sometimes so inflexible that we cannot reorder our list. Sometimes we can't break it down into smaller details. And sometimes that's what is essential. It's essential to making it happen. We see that Tiger Woods is playing in the Masters again. He played last year, I believe, 14 months after people were speculating whether he would even walk again. But he did something. He heeded advice given to him by his father. And his father said, small goals lead to larger goals. Small goals lead to larger goals. And so we set out small goals. I'm sure that in the beginning, I can only imagine after what he had gone through that that first step was not comfortable, probably was painful, but he did it. One step on a journey. But if he had not started that journey, he couldn't expect to ever finish it. Sometimes you have to look and break this thing down. As he started to walk, small things make a difference. Am I walking on wooden floors, concrete floors? Am I walking on carpet? To most people, it doesn't make a bit of difference. But as you are returning to some form of normalcy, even those things make a difference. Can I make 5 steps today? What happens tomorrow if I can't make 5 steps? Does that mean that I'm failing? No. Your body is healing. Your mind is healing. Everything is healing. It's going through. You've made the effort. You put it there. But eventually, you can take 10, 15, 20 steps. Something may happen, and you may have a setback. But you have in your mind that I can take 20 steps. I can get there. I did it once. I can do it again. This is the attitude necessary for thought vendors. That's what you are. You're a thought vendor. Maybe you've come up with a solution to something. We see it happening all the time. Maybe you've come up with a better cup of coffee. Who would imagine that brewing coffee would be a multi-billion dollar industry? When my mother started her restaurant, I remember well. I remember the coffee urn. I remember coffee going for 5 cents a cup. Try getting that today. Not going to happen because situations and times have changed. But some of the initial moves that she made are very fundamental even today. You have to plan it out. What are you going to do? Now, there are two trains of thought that are taking place here. Sometimes we think that we are the only person that can do everything in operating this railroad. We can be the engineer, the conductor, the switchman, the trackman, everything. Not very effective. Sometimes we have to have a team. And I have train tracks a little over a mile from my home because there's a plant a little over a mile from my home. And sometimes I watch as they do switching. Now, we have trains that come through that aren't going to slow down. They are hauling, and they have many cars. These trains are sometimes a couple of miles long. But what we see in order to get the work done, those cars have to get off of the main line and to where they need to be. And so what we have are switchmen. They get off the train. They open the switches, close the switches, whatever may be necessary. But they are essential part of the crew. Are you going to try to do everything on there? And imagine how that would slow everything down. Because you can't be ready to move the instant that switch is thrown. But if somebody else is doing it, you can. That train is not going to take off at 60 miles an hour. But he can certainly make it to and get back on the train before it's able to do. This is what you have to look at as you go through the planning of your ideas. And I'm not talking about necessarily a business, but it can apply to a business. We see people now that are running for office. That's a job. How are you going to do it? We've seen people come up with different strategies, some grassroots efforts, some involving media, some involving other forms of communication, putting people out on the streets to talk about the ideas. And the idea that works in New York City may not work in Middletown, whatever state you're in, small town. It may not work. It may. But we have to put thought into the entire plan. How's it going to work? I need some people to do this. You may be able to persuade some people. You may be able to get people who can persuade people. I hope that you see what I'm saying, that it is a process that we're going through. It's a process of enlightenment. It's a process of filling an idea. If you look at an idea such as Ritz crackers, one person can't produce all of those crackers. They have machines to do a lot of it. But I'm sure at some point in time it was done by hand. We look at it and say, well, it's not going to last because they'll have a machine do this. Yeah, but in the meantime, they need somebody to do what needs to be done. When the machine comes along, somebody's going to have to operate it. Somebody's going to have to fix it. We are looking at a changing world. We are looking at an industry that's changing when we look at our transportation industries. There are people now building buses, trucks that run on electricity, normally in the form of batteries. But as we continue, we may find that one day we'll be painting them in solar panels, so to speak. And that can take some of the load off of what's taking place. We have to look at the best ideas. When we look at that train, some people say it's a diesel locomotive. It's not fully true. What is happening is the diesel is running a turbine which produces electricity, which actually runs the wheels. This is why it's called a diesel electric locomotive, DEL, in many ways of speaking. And at one time, I thought that this may be adaptable to automobiles because you could take a small engine and run a turbine, produce energy, some of which could be stored, so that if you had a long hill or something to go up. And there was promise in that in many cases. Is it dead? I don't know. But what we see in terms of batteries, we're looking at many different forms of batteries. We're looking at nickel, lithium, other metals and minerals to store electricity. Excuse me. At the same time, we're looking at iron air batteries. They can be useful in a home. They can be recycled. Many times. But they are heavy. They're not practical for a car. at some day, excuse me, I don't know what I've got, a sneezing fit going, but excuse me for that. But one day we'll be able to do something about it. I don't normally consider myself as having allergies, but with the sneezing going on, somebody's going to come up with a way. And although we have made great progress in the field of allergies and having people have significant changes during the season, it's possible. But it takes a person with forethought in order to overcome this. At one time, we were having soldiers die on the battlefield because what was considered a mortal wound often was a result of lack of blood going into shock. The blood bank took care of that. We see so many opportunities where the mind, when unleashed and allowed to look at the maximum possible, has accomplished the impossible. Okay, look at your dream. Is it big? Is it big enough? Can you dream even bigger? You may dream so big that it scares you. But the problem is, what are the steps necessary to get from here to there? We have to have intermediate goals. We start small. That may be starting with research. It may be starting with implementing of ideas that you have. And sometimes these ideas don't work as planned. Why? Sometimes we have to do it over and over again, not necessarily expecting a different result. But sometimes as we focus on what is happening, why, how, we see ways of doing it better. I had an acquaintance that started off baking pies in her home, in her oven at home. And she would come to the farmers markets. At first, she sold a few. As word got out, she sold more. As the quality and everything remained high, she sold many, many more. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to put in the work. I see so many people today, when I walk into a store, they are basically representing the store in terms of being clerks or whatever. But they lack a fundamental, and that is being helpful, being friendly, being knowledgeable. Sometimes it's that person that goes the extra mile to make sure that they're doing what's necessary that attracts somebody else. It may not even be in that corporation. It may be in another corporation. But you'd be surprised the number of people that make a great impression because they're doing the job that they're in now. And somebody is willing to work with them, to assist them, to be a mentor for them. You don't have to ask people for that. You can. But people may see it and encourage you. This is one of the things that surprised me so much at work when I was working. I had people, because I dealt with all levels of management, I was surprised by some of the people that called me into their office and gave me advice. And I mean solid, good advice. I see this. You should try this, whatever. And it was sincere, because as I tried it, most of it worked. That didn't, I have to go back and look at why. Was it there? It sounds like good information, and it could be me. And I have to visit it more than once to see what's going on. This, ladies and gentlemen, is how we develop success. This is what it's called. It's a trial and error. We try something. We make an error. Is that a failure? Not unless you don't learn a blasted thing from it. You repeat it. Same thing happens. Why? We become more and more involved. A lot of chemical reactions are just that. They go through stages. They go through developments. And so we learn to do it better and better and better. Many of you may not remember Ivory Soap, I-V-O-R-Y. The bars came out 99 and 44, 100% pure. And so pure it floats. That was kind of a gimmick. The reason it floats was because of air being beaten into the mixture. What happened is an operator was running a machine. He fell asleep and beat too much air in it. The stuff came out, and then somebody said, well, can we use this? Yes, we can use this. It didn't have a lot of perfume in it. It didn't have a lot of other stuff. It was basically pure soap, and it sold like hotcakes. I don't see it anymore. But we find other products like Octagon soap, and it was a bar that had eight sides to it. And with that, there was a little bit of pumice. What's pumice? It's a little rough ash that comes out of volcanoes. Wasn't gross. It was kind of gritty, but it sure cleaned hands. If you were an auto mechanic, you used it, or you used a very similar product. When we look mistakes, sometimes they can be more profitable than anything. Many people still use Post-it notes. That was a batch of glue that went bad. It could stick. You could take it off, and it would re-stick. Ah, in most cases, that's not what you want glue to do. But somebody looked at it and said, hey, what happens if? And so they started putting that little strip on the back of little Post-it notes, and you could stick them all anywhere. You could stick them on the wall. They didn't rip your paint off. They didn't damage the finish. That was a batch of product that went bad for whatever reason. And this is why we have to always be vigilant on what we are doing. Is there something that I have discovered here that I don't even realize? Yeah, it is quite possible. A lot of things we do come out by mistake. When early work was being done on microwaves, they were radio waves. And person began to notice that when he had a candy bar in his pocket and he worked on them, it melted. Huh, why? Why? This, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is one of the reasons that it is necessary to always have your mind engaged. Is this mistake really a mistake? Or is somebody giving me something and saying, I dare you to use it? I dare you to use it. I think the universe sometimes does that to us. It plays tricks on us. Teflon came about, and there was an explosion in the laboratory. And they noticed that they could not clean this stuff up with anything that they had. Normally we go through aqueous solutions, which are water-based solutions. We go through organics, which are generally oils, and generally one or the other will dissolve it. In this case, neither one did. And so they started experimenting. They found that they could put it on pots and pans and stuff wouldn't stick to it. A mistake. In somebody's eyes, we're now getting to the point where we have to watch certain chemicals in these things. Somebody along the way thought about glass and coming up with ceramic coatings. All of these are because people decided to try something. And there's no reason that that person cannot be you. But when we go back to our list, what do we need to do? What do we really need to do? And what can we find something that somebody else can help us with? It's a team effort. It's a team effort. Because in most of these cases, more than one thing had to go wrong in order to come up with this. In some cases, no. But we learn along the way. How long do you want to take? If you are determined to do everything yourself, it's obviously going to take longer than if someone else helped you. If this idea is worthwhile, it may be necessary to get or enlist aid to help you. It's like a site I was working on. I needed to design a logo. And I could have taken class after class after class. I'm not the most artistic person around. But I found someone that would do it for $10. The classes I was going to take were more than that. Yeah, I could use it again. But when I look at my time versus what needs to be done, that is the best option for me. Some of you probably could knock it out in 5 minutes. That's fine. In that case, you don't need to check that off. But you won't, you'd probably laugh if I told you how long it took me to come to that decision alone. It took a long time, folks, to come up with that. Because sometimes I'm pig-headed. I say, well, I can do it. It's not a matter of whether I can or can't do it. Is it worth my time to do it? When we look at the time that people are paid, some people are paid to think. And that doesn't mean that they have to be standing behind a mule plowing 40 acres in the North 40, although some people find that relaxing and a way to do it. It's a matter of being strategic. It may be that you need an aquarium in your office where you can just take time out and watch it swim around. Maybe it's a fire in the winter times in a fireplace that give you that place that you can go and let your mind flow freely. Sometimes you can go to an area and watch a waterfall, watch ducks swim in the water. But what you have to do in your dream stage, dream big. But put that same energy, that same analysis into chunking it down into manageable bite-sized pieces. And that bite-sized piece may be, say, get somebody to do this. Because I wasted an enormous amount of time thinking about that. It's as if it were insurmountable. It is not an insurmountable problem. It was within reach. It was within a fingertip's reach. I could have done that long time ago while I was still fresh in the idea and moved on. This is what you need to do. That's why you go back to the very basics. Look at your idea. Reanalyze it. When you put two or three things on your agenda to do today, are they too big to accomplish? Can they be broken down into smaller bits? If they can, do what you can. This is the secret to success. Because forward is a direction, not a speed. But the more you can make it smaller, the more speed you can pick up. The more speed you can pick up. There are many people that start off with an idea for a book, and they get bogged down because the enormity of the product hits them. Sometimes you sit in that chair, and it's all that you can do to type out a sentence or two. There need to be ways of refreshing and revitalizing you if that is your idea, your dream. Sometimes you need to just take out your phone, take out whatever device, record your ideas. I had at one time, and I will probably get it again, a voice recognition program that would type what I spoke. I wasn't always in sync with it. I didn't always the same speed at which I was able to type. And that was a problem, but not an insurmountable problem. And I find that for whatever reason, I lost it on my computer, and I need to get another copy. They've come out with a new copy. But I have some things that are that I placed a higher priority on because I can still make good success with what I used prior. Sometimes we have to write and rewrite and rewrite. There was a young man on this morning on television, and I don't remember his name. I'm sure that he is a popular recording artist. He's a white rapper that was on. And he made good sense. He was talking about the genre that he is in. He's a visitor there because although successful, you just can't come in and steal everything out of an idea and not leave anything. You need to leave something. You need to be of a service or else you're basically worthless. This is what we do. People, we bring something to the party. What do we bring to the party? We bring what we've got. We oftentimes go to the party wanting everybody to spoon feed us. Now, what does it look like? You are a grown individual, and you expect to be able to go to somebody's house, their office, their, wherever they are, and just soak up everything that you want and not leave anything in return. Sometimes what you think are crumbs to them turns out to be a full meal because they get something out of it. And what do? They dump more on you. They dump more good stuff on you because they see that you're willing to do what you can do. This is a way to pick up fans, folks. Do what you can do and do it well. I had the opportunity. It was very frustrating. I had to call tech service last night. I had an individual that wanted to make sure that I knew that he was the expert. And we were not on the same wave pattern at all. Oh, it can't be done. It can't be done. I'm the expert, and I know. Well, thank you. Thank you for your information. I called right back, got somebody that was extremely helpful. Sometimes I don't know what it is. We get crossways with people. We have to continue to do it. We have to look at our attitudes as well. Like I said, I found that sometimes in dealing with certain people, certain offices, I have to stop and pray. And I pray to calm down, to remain calm, to remain professional, to maintain ethics. This is what we want to do. We're not out to rip off anybody, and that includes ourselves. There are people today that when I see them, I'm very, very complimentary because I mean it. They've helped me. They've bailed me out. And I don't feel bad about asking them again. But they know that I will give as much as I can to whatever the situation is. Check yourself. Make sure that you're doing this. This is what the Bible tells us. Treat your neighbor as you do yourself to yourself. Some of you, yes. Some of you, yes. It's almost self-destructive. But the thing we have to do is that really really the best thing. Sometimes that neighbor is a jerk. And I've lived next to jerks. But that shouldn't lower me to that level. I should maintain a level as best I can, and hopefully it will bring them up. When we look at, you know, we can get angry at somebody and we can curse them up one side and down the other. And that gives us sometimes a temporary relief. Temporary relief. Sometimes we're cutting off our nose to spite our face. But when you can stand tall in any given situation, you have that respect. You know that you have it. You've earned it. And if nobody else knows, you know. We see people that forgive somebody. And there was a person today that had forgiven the person that had killed his son. You can forgive. You don't necessarily forget, but you take the malice out of that situation. That malice is what is going to eat you up from the inside out. We can't afford to do that. We are vendors of ideas. Vendors of ideas. We are creative, and we develop that muscle. That's how we can go into other areas and be creative, because we're looking for opportunities. If you get up every morning and it's a chore, it's pure drudgery for you to get up, pure drudgery for you to talk to other people. Just imagine what would happen if you come in cheerful. They're going to wonder what in the heck's going on with you. One of these days, that will make all the impression in the world. When I look in terms of spreading my belief, it may be different than most people, but I believe I should live my life in a way in which other people want to know the secret. Why? How can you do this? Well, one, I forgive. I move on. I had a situation where that was about to happen to me. It was eating at me like I can't believe. And it was tearing me down. It was eating me up from the inside out. And I finally turned it over to the Lord. I said, please, Lord, I can't. I'm having difficulty forgetting this situation. Let me learn to forgive and move on. And I think that's why my life has extended to the extent that it had. I look back to the mid-90s, and I had a doctor, highly recommended doctor, one of the best, look me straight in the eyes and tell me I had 6 to 10 months to live. And I don't care how strong you are, those words sent a shock through my system. I don't know how I did not fall off of the stool that I was on when he told me. I can remember it's almost like the lights were going out, like I was going to pass out. And I knew that if I didn't get out of that hole, and some people get in that hole and they don't know how to get out. Sometimes it takes faith. Sometimes it takes prayer. Sometimes it takes professional help. Sometimes it takes all of those. But that's the difference between success and failure. Successful people have fallen, but they don't wallow in it. They get up again. They may fall again, but they get up. They get up one more time than they fell. That is success. And when it comes, it's so sweet. People may not know about it. People may not know the trials and tribulations that you went through. But the adoration that you get from others or even from yourself, knowing what you have done, is tremendous. This is what keeps the world moving. This is what keeps ideas flowing. I think that there is a connection between the universe, our creator, and ourselves. And I think we have to make that idea known. We cannot dream too big. We can dream too small. And then we don't cut that up into chunks so that we can digest it. We need to do that on a continual basis, on a continual basis. When you start that list today, do it as best you can. If you find you're putting too much on the list, back off. If you're not putting enough, put a little bit more. But going into the day with 20 or 30 items on a list is, in my opinion, mostly foolish. Because we cannot do it all. And we end up at the end of the day, I barely made a dent in this. I would rather you end up saying, I did it. Now what can I do tomorrow? Optimism. This is what our faith gives us. Faith in ourselves, faith in our God to give us what is necessary in order to get there. This is what George Washington Carver impressed me about. He got up at 4 o'clock every morning. I don't even know there's a 4 o'clock on my clock most mornings. But he got up. He spent quiet time with his creator. He studied his books. He did what was necessary. And he went into the laboratory armed with hope, optimism. I hope that sometimes you get a chance to visit the museum of his at Tuskegee Institute in Tuskegee, Alabama. The man was very, very talented. Many of his paintings are still there. And the detail that he put into them. And when he started, he didn't have paint. He didn't have brushes. He had to make everything himself. But he did it. That curiosity is what propelled him to where he is now. We look at him, and when asked if he did his greatest work with peanut, he said no. And when you see what he's done with soybean, what he's done with goldenrod, what he's done with other things, you'll understand why. It is a figment of our imagination. Yeah, he made over 300 products out of the peanut. But there are most people around the world that have no idea what products he made. Some think that he made peanut butter. Come on, give me a break. The man was a scientist, not a magician. Stepping on a peanut basically yields peanut butter. But I tell you what, if that peanut is on some paper, you'll see also that there's oil in there. Get peanut oil. From peanut oil, we can make soaps. We can make shaving creams. We can make lathers. We can make thinners for paints and add pigments to it, add other things to it. This is what he did. That imagination was going 100 miles an hour. His body didn't have to do that, but his mind was, and he fed it, and he relaxed it, and he didn't stress out over things that he did not have to stress out over. He took a pay cut to go to Tuskegee, and when he left a very large sum of money there because he was frugal. He made a lot of things. He crocheted and weaved and did other crafts to occupy his time. I'm sure he had a fulfilling life because what he was looking for was not riches, but it was what he could give to his fellow human beings. When he came out with the idea of raising peanuts, it did replenish the soil because they're legumes and they put nitrogen back in the soil. Cotton was taking it out. Sweet potatoes, the same thing. He said, plant them because you could see the encroachment of the boll weevil coming. You knew it was going to be a crop failure. Eventually, it was moving 100 to 200 miles per year. It was approaching. Plant something that you can eat. If the market fails, at least you have something to eat. This wisdom doesn't take a genius to do. But it takes somebody with imagination to make it real. You, my friends, are that imagination. This is why I come to you each week. I want you to join us on Sunday when we do Did You Know? We're finishing up talking about 31 absolutely fantastic women. And while I'm going to be speaking in Spartanburg, South Carolina on May the 31st, right around Memorial Day, and my subject is going to be black females in the military, you'll see some of these people had enormous dreams, dreams that people said you cannot make come true. But they came true. Why? Because they worked at it. They didn't allow naysayers to steal their dream. They knew within themselves. They reinvigorated themselves. They refreshed themselves. They kept at what they were intending to do. This is how you make it successful. This is how you make your life meaningful. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. Yes, faith plays a big, big role. Faith plays a big role in our life. I think it gives us that optimism that we can do whatever we believe we can. And so those ideas are a gift from God. And if we sit there and just look at them, it's like getting the most beautiful Christmas present we could ever imagine and saying, I don't feel like opening it. Use it. Transform it. Use it for what it's intended to do. Communicate with the person or thing that comes to you. Your ideas are important to the world. Don't sit around and think, well, if it were possible, somebody else would have done it. No. You are touched. You were tagged. You are that person we're waiting on. We have people sitting around saying we're waiting for a leader like Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King is not coming back, but you are here. Martin Luther King was not prepared, but he knew because the mission was sent to him. This is what we're talking about, folks. This is how we make success a reality. Don't dream too small. Dream big, but chunk it down. Make it manageable. Do something every day. You need to include in what you're doing time for rest and relaxation. God rested on the seventh day. You might need more days than that. But plan them. Know what you're going to do. Sometimes we have to burn the midnight oil. Sometimes we have to burn the candle at both ends. At that, I am John C. Abercrombie. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. Notice that. Faith on the Road to Success. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in your Creator. Have faith that you will not be given a dream so big that you can't accomplish it. Those people that take that giant dream and start moving there end up so far ahead of what they would have if they had dreamed small that it's not funny. You have that ability, my friends. I pray for you to do that. I look forward to you here next Thursday at 7 o'clock. Like I said, we have had difficulties with the network. Programs yesterday were not able to get on. The program at 6 o'clock was not able to get on. I do believe that we have a program coming on at 8 o'clock. Stand around or stand by for that one, and hopefully the problems are taken care of. And with that, I want to bid you a very blessed day, a very blessed week. Dream. Dream. Dream as big as you can and make that dream come true. Join us again next week at 7, 4 o'clock Pacific, and whatever that translates into around the world. As you listen, we have many people that do so. God bless you. Good evening.